Welcome to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, joining you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Mike Hiris. It's been a while since we've had a Wobcast, but we're back, and we're better than ever, and we have a very worthy subject to bring us back. It's the new Viking Stadium, and to talk about that, it's Vikings Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development, Lester Bagley. Hey, Lester.
Wobby, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on in to talk stadium. It's something that kind of seems to never go away, stadium news, but now it's in a good way because we're making progress toward getting a new home, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a long, hard climb. We spent 12 years at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
The bill passed in May of 2012, so and then 18 months since the bill passed, we've been working on contracts and agreements and budgets. And now we're about 10 days away from breaking ground. So, yeah, putting people to work and actually seeing the results of the last year is a hard work.
Okay, I'm going to pepper you with a bunch of questions.
Cool.
Are you ready?
Yes.
So the most recent big headline was this additional, shall we say, contribution from the Will family, right? $40-some million dollars that they contributed.
41.4 they put in
additional. Okay, so what was the deal with that? Why was that such a big deal?
Well, as we came down the stretch here over the last 2 weeks, we couldn't get going on construction until we had a budget, until we had what they call a guaranteed maximum price, which is what the contractor, Mortenson Construction, stands up and says, we will build this project for this amount. And once they say that, then they have to take on risk. If it costs more than that, they have to help pay for it. Mm-hmm. So we came down the stretch over the last 2 weeks on saying this is the amount of dollars that it's going to take to build the stadium. Unfortunately, numbers have come in, bids have come in higher than we anticipated, so that the number was coming in a lot higher than what we had hoped. So it came down to the wire. We have to get the budget agreed upon so we can get the financing approved and so we can break ground. What came in was we had a choice of either cutting the budget through cuts in the building, or we would have had to step back and redesign to a lower number, or the ownership would have had to step up and put more money in, and that's what we decided to do. That's what our owners decided to do, step up and invest an additional $41.4 million. Dollars.
So great news, because cutting from the budget, now you take out some of the cool toys and gadgets that we want in there, right?
Yeah.
Takes away from the fan experience.
Exactly, and this has been a long, hard climb to get.
Right.
This has been all about the reason, you know, to do this was to improve the fan experience, the game day experience, and we designed a great stadium, and we had that vision for what it's going to be like for fans. And then we came down, it would have been a tragedy to come down to the last 2 weeks and say we have to cut some of this stuff out because the numbers come in too high. So fortunately, our owners did step up and put in additional dollars. And a lot of that is sort of like technology, cellular and Wi-Fi connectivity, HD television screens throughout the building, you know, the confirming the video, the big scoreboards in each end zone and some of the ribbon boards. So a lot of it was technology, but a lot of it was fan experience and iconic design that we all worked so hard on over the last several months.
And also, one thing about the stadium that has been advertised is we're going to be able to put lots of different events in there, right? And some of them are going to be big events, like a BCS title game or a Final Four.
Right.
And if you start taking some of the things away from the stadium that you were talking about,
right,
it becomes less appealing for the host committees of those events to choose Minnesota, right?
Absolutely. But our partner in the project is the public side, the Stadium Authority. They didn't have any more money to put in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as a team and organization were not interested in cutting stuff out. So, your question is a good one because it points to we're doing this not just Viking fans and Viking game days, but at every event, every person that attends an event in that building, every Minnesotan who comes through there is gonna see the benefit of this additional investment. So we avoided whacking back into the building, which nobody wanted to do, but we were the only ones that had the ability to put more money in, and fortunately, again, we did step up and take care of that.
You come on all of the road trips with the team, with us. We've gone to Dallas this year, we've gone to Seattle this year, we just got back from Lambeau. When you go into some of these nice stadiums, does it kind of make you excited about what's coming down the road for us?
Yeah, absolutely, and especially to get to Dallas this year. I mean, those the three that you mentioned are three of the greatest fan experiences, in my view, and three of the greatest stadiums in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have, you're right, we've been to them all just in the last few weeks here. But, you know, the excitement in Dallas was to see that that was designed by HKS Architect, the same architect that designed the Viking Stadium. So we're excited about that. And they also designed Indianapolis, you know, Lucas Oil Field, which is completely different than Dallas, which will be completely different than Minneapolis. Sure. So our stadium is going to be unique. It's going to be one of a kind in the NFL. And just, you know, excited just to see a lot of the features that we liked in Dallas, other than the huge, obnoxious big screen. We didn't like that. We like it, but we're not bringing that. Mm-hmm. But some of the things like the bunker suites and the and the action and some of the suites and that are closest to the action in the league, our seats and our suites are going to be closer than any in the NFL, and so we're excited about it. And just the energy that's in those buildings, the three that you mentioned, are just incredible, and it's a great fan experience, and that's what we're shooting for. Home field advantage, but a great fan experience for Vikings fans.
The next landmark is groundbreaking, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of been a moving target, but we're getting close there. But independent of when it's going to happen, what is the groundbreaking?
Well, it's mostly a ceremonial event that has the dignitaries. A lot of people worked a lot of hours and put a lot of energy into this project. So there's a lot of people that should be part of this celebration. So the groundbreaking ceremony is really a celebration, and we want it to include, you know, the governor and the mayor and the business leaders and the labor leaders, but also, you know, the stadium authority and the Vikings and our organization, everybody that worked so hard on this for so many years. There's construction work that starts tomorrow. They're going to start digging up the back parking lot. But the ceremonial event is set for December 3rd. But that's more of a, like I said, a celebration that we try to involve everybody that worked on it, because it was a team effort as our community stepped up.
So for our fans who go to games, the last three games at Mall of America Field, are they going to be impacted adversely by some of the work that has to start right now?
Well, anybody who parks in the east parking lot of Mall of America Field, anybody who has a parking spot on that site is going to be impacted. The first part of construction begins in the east parking lot, where they're going to start to strip up the blacktop and start excavation. They'll be starting to load up and pull out of there tons of dirt they got, because we have to dig a big hole back there. So if you park back there, you'll definitely see an impact. If you arrive, park elsewhere, and walk through the gate D or the east side of Mall of America Field, you may see activity and you may be mildly inconvenienced, but for the most part, the major significant construction doesn't begin until the dome is brought down.
And for people like you who arrive via helicopter, there's no inconvenience, right?
Right. I can just rappel down and like I usually do.
Okay, good. the construction jobs, right? That's one thing we talked a lot about, is the jobs that this project will bring to the area. So when are we going to see a bunch of construction workers on the ground, like you said, digging the hole? And when are we going to start seeing a lot of activity around
this? This week. I mean, it is starting now. They're digging up that blacktop and starting to dig haul that dirt out of there, is starting now, starting tomorrow, Tuesday. So that's where it is now. But in terms of when once the season's over, about middle of January, we'll probably start to bring down the building. So it'll kind of work in a counterclockwise direction, starting with the east side parking lot, start to dig that up, and then we'll go east to start to bring down the dome as we go around, and then right behind it, the construction, the foundation will start. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it works. Mortensen's got a great video, I think you can see it on our website, that shows how the dome will come down and how the construction actually will evolve over the next 30 months.
Well, you know, with our luck, you know how that's going to go, right? I mean, the building won't come down. Like, no matter what you do to it,
It's coming down. No, we wanted to blow it up. We wanted to get the old plunger, old school, and blow it up. But no, we have to bring it down quietly and environmentally conscious manner.
Yes.
So, but we will. It's coming down, and it's really a pretty simple structure. It's a little bit of steel and a lot of cement. So, as Jeff Cesario said, the Metrodome has given cement a bad name. So
that's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Okay.
So it'll be easy to bring down, and it'll be a long time coming, and it'll be exciting. But it won't be as exciting as the moment we we open the doors and walk into the new building in 2016.
That's going to be awesome. In the meantime, we'll play at TCF Bank Stadium, where it'll be a lot like it was at Lambeau Field this past weekend, right?
Right.
I mean, this time of year. Maybe we can get into Goodell's office and have him schedule Miami and Arizona in these November, December months.
Well, we will have two. You know, each team has two, a minimum of two December home games. So we will have two December home games in both 2014 and 2015 at TCF Bank Stadium. Now, yesterday at Lambeau, you know, Mark Murphy from the Packers told me that was the coldest regular season game in 16 years.
Wow.
At Lambeau. So that was November, you know, late November, and it's still, it was down to 18 and plus wind chill. So we will probably have a couple of cold games, but I think we're doing some things to the building in terms of capital investments to to deal with the weatherization, to try to make it playable, workable into that part of the year. But we're excited about it. We have to sort of lean into it. It's going to be a little bit of a distraction in assigning tickets to our fans.
Yep.
You know, that whole thing is going to be complicated. But I think the good news is it's a temporary thing as we work through it. The first year might be kind of novel and like a little novelty,
yes,
to play there. And the second year is like, well, we're almost done type of thing.
But we're hardy people here in Minnesota. We can take it.
Most of us are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a segment of the fan base, Lester, that's going to like playing those games.
Absolutely,
outside. There's
no
there's
question.
A lot of people who didn't want a roof on the new stadium.
That is true.
So they're going to get 2 years of it.
And we understand that, and we frankly could have worked with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and how it worked out in the end, this agreement between the team and the public was it had to work in a year-round manner like the Mall of America Field does for all the other events that come in. So the compromise, if you will, was to have a fixed roof or roof stadium that could be temperature controlled. And we're fine with that because it got the job done. But, there's a lot of people, including some of our owners, some of our players, that would have loved to have that outdoor experience through the cold months.
Well, we have to work with the U of M, though. For those 2 years at TCF, we need chicken broth on the cold weather games because they had that at Lambeau and they have it at Soldier Field, and I think it's key to the equation.
That's awesome.
So can you get that in there?
We'll work on that.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Lester.
Yeah, anytime. We'll,
all right.
We'll keep you posted as the project evolves. Thanks,
Sounds
Mike.
Good. Our thanks to Lester Bagley for joining us on this edition of the Wobcast. Groundbreaking for the Vikings' new stadium, the event that Lester talked about. It's going to happen on Tuesday, December 3rd at 10 a.m. There is some space for fans to come and check it out, so get there and get there early. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We thank you for listening, and we leave you with a callback from Lambeau.
Third and goal from inside the one. Green Bay leads by one deep in the first half. Couple of tight ends to the right. Ellison to the left. Carlson joins him to the left. I formation. Third and goal. Handoff Adrian. Walks in untouched. Touchdown Vikings!